We are now in the book of 1 Timothy, so if you would be so kind as to open the book of 1 Timothy. We are in chapter dos. Did I say that right, Neely? You're always correcting my Spanish. So, all right, so first I was going to do the whole chapter, and then I kept cutting it down. First, I was going to do like, you know, whatever, all 14 verses. Then I was going to do 11 verses. And then I was going to do up to 8 and then 7. And then Pastor Gary just told me that we had communion. Then I was at 4 and I was thinking, oh boy. So hopefully we'll get, maybe we'll make it to 2. No. So we're going to try and do as much as we can here together. Let me just read 4 verses and let's read it together. And then we'll go over what it says. If you remember, give me one second. If you remember, Timothy is a young man. He's pastoring in Ephesus, which was a beautiful city. When God called him, just like when he calls all of us, it's not easy peasy. You want to run, you want to quit. That's what Timothy was doing. He wanted to run, he wanted to quit, he wanted to just get out of there. Paul was encouraging him to stay and do the job that he's called him to do. This is part of the pastoral epistles. We're in the chapters 2 and 3, which is talking about the church and its message, how to conduct yourself in a church. It's going to talk to men, women, what's important. And so last week, we talked about some things that Paul wrote that are hard to understand, and last week was really good. If you missed last week, go to the YouTube Home Fellowship Church YouTube channel and watch it, because it was really good. We talked about the law and how it's good if one uses it properly. The law was like a guardian or a schoolmaster until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And Paul listed off all these sins. People were saying that, hey, the law makes us righteous. And Paul was saying, no, the law is actually made for bad people to show us our sin, show that we need salvation. And he thanked God for giving him the strength and appointing him to service. Paul said, hey, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, but I was shown mercy by the Lord. And I was thankful for his grace that he showered upon me, and that the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly by faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The same with you, you know? And Paul even said, I'm not a product of my mistakes. He's like, if I had to classify myself as anything, he said, I just want you to know Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Paul was like considered a Pharisee, right? He said, and I am the worst. Not I was, I am the worst. And yet God poured out his grace and mercy when he believed and received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then Paul just started praising in the letter to Timothy and told him, I want you to fight the fight well, fight the battle, recall all the things I've taught you, and then hold on to faith and a good conscience. And that's where we left off. All right. So now as we start in chapter 2, let's read the first 4 verses as he gives instructions to the church. He says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think I better stop there. I really want to get to 5, but I don't think I'm supposed to. So he starts off and he's talking about prayer. And the Bible has so much to say about prayer. And usually, that's the least attended get-together we have. If we have a Bible study, I got to tell you, most of the time, it's pretty well-received, depending on the topic or what's teaching. If we have a fellowship, again, same thing. Everybody's there. If we have, it's usually the least attended thing we do, and this is across all churches, is usually the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting this morning, that we have every Sunday morning that Pastor Gary leads, I just want to encourage you to come to that, to come early. Are you still holding it in the third portable? And to be a part of that. Pray for others. And don't make it a social gathering. Make it about prayer. That's what we should be doing. But prayer has been important to Christians. I'm going to give you some Christian quotes before I start going over the scripture, because you know I got plenty of that. This is from Chuck Smith. I don't know if you saw the movie. What was the movie he did? Processing. Greg? Jesus Revolution. Thank you so much. You know, Lisa and I had the pleasure of meeting him many times and being at pastors' conferences for at least a decade under him. We've listened to hundreds of his sermons in Bible college. But he said prayer is the most important activity of a born-again Christian can perform. It should head your list of priorities. For certainly the world around us is in desperate need of prayer. Prayers will open the door for God to do a glorious work in these last days, and prayer will stem the tide of evil. People, if you notice, are even getting angry when you're sending thoughts and prayers nowadays. Isn't that weird? It can tell the direction that it's going, but all the more we need to be a praying people, and sometimes our prayer life is what needs the most help. And so here's something from Martin Luther. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Listen, the more you're in realize your need in this fallen world, the more you're trying to follow Christ, the more you have to realize, I need to be in constant prayer. For me, I need to be in constant prayer for you guys. For my family, for my wife, for my kids, for my friends, for myself, that I act a certain, don't act a certain way, say what I need to say, don't say what I need to say. Prayer is important. It's critical. But most of the time, nobody's praying. I love this quote by F.B. Meyer. He said, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Does that make sense? Sometimes in James it says, hey, we have not because we ask not. Or we ask with the wrong motive, selfishly. And God is saying, man, I want you to be in prayer. I want you to seek. In Matthew, Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, to knock. And here it is, guys. It's this. It's over and over. Ask, seek, knock. Continually. That's the heart behind that message. And that's where he starts us off. He starts us off in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1's instructions on prayer. And this is what he says. He says, I urge then, he says, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Now, there's so much to unpack just in this one verse. That it's going to take a minute. First, it says, I urge. If you have, I really hope you guys do this. But if you don't, let me encourage you. You should have a highlighter. I noticed Neely's got a pen in her hand, and Maggie's got a notebook she's writing in, and I noticed that Jason's underlining his Bible. Listen, I know you think you're never going to forget this, the things that you learn. Can I tell you? You have an incredible forgettery. I don't even know if that's a real word. I forgot. But the point is, you need to be circling these, underlining, making notes, these things that God is speaking, that God is wanting to impart in your head and your heart, because you never know. You're going to look back in a couple years and see that underline, and God's going to be like, that's exactly what you needed to hear. What? Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I underlined it 10 years ago. I made a little note 5 years ago. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it says, I urge. This is Paul writing to Timothy. That word urge is the word parakaleo. And you say, who cares, Pastor? And anyway, it means, it's in the present tense, and it means to continually encourage. Actually, it's made up of two words, and you might not care, but it's kind of important here. Para, which is where we get our parallel, and kaleo, which means to to speak together. Basically, Paul's saying, hey, come along. Come alongside me in this. I want you, Paul, and he's saying this to you. He's like, Billy, I want you to come alongside with me on this. Don't ignore prayer. He's like, Bob, this is the most important. I'm urging you. Come alongside. Paracleto, I'm urging you. Come alongside with me and do this with me. Don't be like a lot of others that aren't thinking about prayer, that they're not engaged in prayer. I'm telling you, Audrey, come alongside. Walk with me. Pray with me. That's what he's saying. He's urging Timothy. So he's continually encouraging, come alongside. Do this. And he says, before I even get to the next part, I put this scripture here, but you know, I think of Jesus. You know, Jesus was in a town, and he was healing people and preaching the word and driving out demons till the wee early morning hours, till night, and the whole town, it says, showed up at his door, and he was doing this. So finally, you know, all the disciples got up the next morning and they're looking for him because the town is back. I know you were ministering all night, but Jesus is saying, hey, the apostles are like, Jesus, where are you? And Jesus went off very early in the morning while it was still dark. He got up, he left the house, he went off to a solitary place. And what did he do? He didn't hit the snooze button. He didn't rest. He didn't hit his video game like I would do. When he wakes up in the morning, you know what I'm saying? He didn't click the news immediately. He started off in prayer. And actually, God directed him not to go back to that town. I want you to go to another town right now. And that's why it's so important that we come alongside and we start off in prayer, because sometimes God's going to be changing our heart. Sometimes he's going to be changing our mind. Sometimes he's going to be changing the direction in which we go. I see a hand up there.
That's okay. I got it.
Oh, okay. Wow, it. Good. Yeah. Oh, that must have been Brandon. Good job.
One thing I want to bring to attention to is that the Bible says no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. He knew that there was a battle. He knew that he was called by God, and he knew that he had to be where his Lord wanted him to be. And
yes,
it's important to remember, because many times, you know, like, many times we can look at, you know, our lives, whether that be going day by day, we sometimes think we're just existing. But what we forget daily is that every opportunity is a day that not only is a battleground, but an
yes,
opportunity that God has given us.
That's right. This isn't a playground, it's a battleground. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Otherwise, we shut down. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we just go about our day and we don't even think about it. And God's like saying, come on, I'm urging you. Come alongside, pray, be like Jesus. Then he says, I urge. And then it says, first of all, if you have that in your Bible, I'd underline it. So God's starting to say, he's starting to talk, here's how we are to be in the church. He's not saying prayer is like seventh down the list or whatever. He's saying, first of all, here's what I want you to do. That word is proton in Greek, and it means first in time, first in place, first in order, first of importance. This is for you. So basically, he's saying, at least this is how I read it, prayer isn't just a preparation for God's work. It is the great work. Like, a lot of time we're praying for this wonderful thing, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that is that spiritual forces are being moved in heavenly places that you don't even know about. There's a spiritual battle going on. If you can read about it in Daniel 10, but sometimes there's prayer going on and there's battles going on because of it. Okay? First of all, he says, and Colossians 4:2 says this. Paul is saying, I'm urging you, first of all, this is what I'm telling you to do. Colossians 4:2 tells us to devote yourselves to prayer. That should say something. Listen, prayer, and I'm not just talking about our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be the name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That's how I used to pray. Now, there's nothing the matter with the prayer, except I'm just trying to get it done as soon as possible. There's no heart in it. There's no thought in it, right? God is looking for, he's saying, I want you to devote yourself to prayer because there's a battle going on. Pastor Gary, can you hand me that microphone?
I wonder if you could just go back one slide.
Yeah, go back one slide.
Yeah, I think you said intercessions.
Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Okay. Yeah, I will. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for waiting. He goes on, he says, listen, he starts off, he says, I urge you, right? Parakaleo, come alongside. First of all, first in place, time important. He says, I want you to, first of all, that petitions. And that word petitions in Greek is a word called desis. And I like the Greek words because sometimes it gets a little bit deeper. It helps me to understand it. You may like it, you may not, I'm not sure. But it simply means asking for something in the Greek. Actually, you could use it in if I had a real need and I really needed help, I could desis Gary. That's how it was used in like common Greek. But here it's desis is it's asking God. It's saying, I have a need. These prayers, they arrive from a humble heart of need, knowing that we're lacking and asking for help. So these prayers are like, oh God, I know I can't teach this Bible study. Lord, I know I can't memorize scripture. Lord, I know I'm having a hard time reining in my tongue. I you know Martha bugs me. You know I have a hard time not talking about Sue. Oh, she frustrates me so much. Now I'm picking these people because they don't. But the point is, you know, it's realizing, oh, Lord, I help me to be more patient. I'm not patient, Lord. You know I'm not patient. I need you to help me with that. Would you, Lord? It's coming from a humble heart saying, I need you in this area. Does that make sense? Listen, and when we humble ourselves at the foot of the cross, those prayers go up. This is an example. I try to give an example of each of these things. So your Bible might say requests or petitions, but 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says this. Paul was praying. He was saying, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So they were praying, Lord, I just want to see him again. If you could make a way, Lord, you know I need to help them. Would you allow that to happen? Would you make a way where there is no way? It's that constant prayer. That's what petitions are, or your Bible might say requests, whatever. If you might have a different word for that, but the basic word is desis. The next one after petitions is prayers. That's prosuke in the Greek, and that's more of a general word for prayer, and that is not used in common Greek. That's only used to God. So this is like, this is prayers only to God, and it basically encompasses all kind of talking to God, any communication you have with God, you talking in your heart, you talking out loud, however you do it, it's speaking to God. Usually, it's some sort of praise or worship or adoration. You saw Paul do it last week when we read. He just started bursting out in praise of the Lord. And you can see it other places, like for example in Jude 1:25, he's writing this letter, Jude, and he just starts bursting out in prayer, and you know, he's just like, man, I'm just praising the Lord. All glory to him who is alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ. All glory, majesty, power, and authorities are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. So he just starts adoring God, worshiping God. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but he's saying, I want you to do that. Realize what God has done to you. Without, Don, I don't want to hurt your heart, but without the Lord, without what Jesus Christ has done for you and you receiving that gift of eternal life, you'd be on your way to where? Hell. Where there's no goodness, no kindness, no love. No, it's the opposite. No God forever. We need him. We should be thankful. Listen, he holds us together. You know, he holds everything together. Jesus does. And so, man, sometimes just worshiping him, sometimes when you're singing a song, remember, you're not just singing words. Sing to the Lord. Thank him. Oh, praise you. You know, you're awesome, Lord. And so that's another kind of prayer. Another kind is intercession. That's the third thing here. And intercession in Greek is entouxes, and it basically carries the idea of someone the idea was someone who can go into the presence of the king on your behalf. In other words, I'm going to go talk to the king because I know him personally for you. So intercession would be like, let's just say, Pastor Gary, I know that, no, I'm going to say Judy. Let's just say I know my friend Judy is going through the ringer right now. I know she's being attacked, she's hurt, she's whatever, struggling. And you know what? And I know the enemy is trying to trip her up. You know what? And I'm going to step in front. I'm going to stand in the gap. The enemy's trying to hit her, okay? And not that you're the enemy. I'm just using it as an enemy. And you know what? I'm going to stand in the gap. And I'm gonna pray for her, and I'm gonna shield her. Lord, bless you to give her strength, encouragement, protect her, be a shield around her. It's like I'm gonna take the hits for her for a few minutes while pray that protection over her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And maybe your life is going great right now, and you don't need that. Okay? And if so, good for you. But most of us are going through something. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's mental, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's, who knows? How many, listen, and you're like, oh, everybody's good. How many people could use some little intercessory prayer that would need help? Raise your hand. Look how many hands! So if you don't know who to pray for, look around you and start praying for others, because we need to be doing that. Chris, did you have something you wanted to say? Okay. So, I want to be honest with you. Praying intercessory prayer, when you really do that, you end up taking some hits too. Especially if there's some demonic activity going on. You have to be ready because it makes you a target. But God is saying, I want you to do that for one another so that you can catch your breath. Do you know what I'm saying? So that you can be encouraged. So, I want you to pray petitions, requests, prayers, intercession. And then he says, oh, here's a scripture that would say that. Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, is it who we're mentioning, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. It says, he is always wrestling in prayer for you. He's praying intercession for you continually so that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. So if you're in a good spot or if you're in a stronger believer, you need to pray for some of those folks that raised their hand up, which is pretty much 90% of the people here. Okay? Does that make sense? First of all, I urge you, Paul's like, do this with me. Okay? When I send out those scripture pictures, and if you're not getting them, we'll contact me or my wife, but I want to make sure, help me remember to do this, Lisa, when we get back from our vacation, that I want to make sure everybody's getting that. Because not only do I send those scripture pictures out, but also when you respond, it helps me to pray for you. So when you respond to me and say, oh, thanks, that was such a blessing, or, oh, actually, that's my, I'm just going to pray for that person right now. So it's a way for me to pray for you. Anyway, so also, it says, and petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving, it's interesting. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharista. Does that sound familiar? It's where we get our word Eucharist from, like from the Last Suppers. If you're Catholic, you heard that all the time, right? The Eucharist, right? We're going to celebrate the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. What that is, Eucharist means, eucharista means, is thanksgiving. So that's what Eucharist means. You're celebrating the thanksgiving, what Jesus has done for us, his body and blood in Jesus Christ. So he's like, I want you to pray petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving, okay? And it means just giving thanks to God, giving gratitude to God, having a heart that's thankful for him. It's really easy for us to just take what God has done for granted at any time in your life. Jason, you would be a complete mess if God had not intervened and redirected your life. But you can say, thank you, Lord. And that should never get old. It should never get old, saying, thank you, Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for trying to reach me, Lord. Thank you for caring enough about me in this crowded room. He cares about you. Capiche? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, listen, the Bible tells us this. It's not like we should forget it. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, he says, I want you to pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, knowing that God's going to work it to good. And that's a hard thing to do. Okay, Lord, I'm going through it, Lord, but thank you, because I know I'm going to be thankful for the scars, even though I don't like them, because you're going to use them in my life. And I want you to use them for your glory. So make sure the scars aren't because I'm making bad choices and I'm a knucklehead. Make sure the scars, if they're from you, Lord, thank you, because you're going to help me to be a better person. I'm going to be more thankful. But in all circumstances, and he says, this is God's will for you. Yet, you know what I notice? Sometimes Christians can be the most complaining people on the planet. Whine, 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 whine. Sometimes I do it. It's not a good. It's not okay. Be thankful. He says this. He says, listen, I'll give thanks to the Lord. This is in Psalm 717. He says, I'll give thanks to the Lord. I'll even sing his praises. It says in Philippians, I like this, 1:3-4, talks about thanksgiving and prayer. This is Paul. He's writing to the Philippians. He's like, man, I thank my God every time I remember you. So he's like, God, I want to say thank you. Thank you for Leo being you. Thank you for Trish and how you're changing their hearts and lives. Thank you for that, Lord. I want to say thank you. Does that make sense? Thank you for what I've seen you do in Teresa's life. Lord, I still remember when we're sitting at Cracker Barrel. Yeah. And we're talking about what a mess our lives are, and I don't even know if you Christians are. And now here I'm praising the Lord. I'm walking with Jesus. I don't even know about you Christians. I don't even know if I can do this thing. And now look at you. I thank my God every time. Flo, I thank my God every time you go back there and you're serving those little kids. I see you there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my wonderful sister. Listen, thank you. Thank God. Thank you, God, for that person. Thank you, God, for this. It says, I thank God in all my prayers for all of you, and I always pray with joy. That's how we should be. Now, you can focus on the areas that Ricardo's being a knucklehead, which are easy to do, I'm sure. Leslie, but instead, Lord, thank you for the good things. Thank you for, look, he's in church today. Thank you, Lord. Bless his heart. Lord, thank you. Look at, thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for you, Ricardo. You get it? I am thankful. That's how we should be. Does it make sense? So and it says for all people, not just family and friends, but your enemy is as well. I was going to say something, but the Lord just stopped me, so I'm not going to use that illustration. So let's just say, let me switch it on the fly. And this is any political environment. You can switch out. I don't offend anybody. Oh, Lord, saying don't use that one either. Ah. Anyway, the point is, we're to pray for everyone. So whether they're going the right direction with the Lord or the 100% wrong. They're going the wrong direction or the right direction, we're to pray for them. In fact, it even says, this is the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So that means, oh, Lord, stop me again. Okay. I was like, it's a different slide. It's a little different angle. No, just don't do it. The Bible says to pray for those who persecute you. So our goal is, and that's not natural. Is there anybody who would actually pray? I mean, sometimes I have a hard time for praying for people who annoy me. But this doesn't say pray for people who annoy you. It says pray for those who are downright attacking you, that are downright out to get you, out to find some dirt, out to trip you up, out to trap you. I want you to pray for them. Bless them in some way, Lord God. Lord, just draw them near to yourself. Show them the truth. Encourage their heart. See what I'm saying? I see a couple of things. I don't even know what I did with the microphone. Do I have the microphone? Okay, if you would. You can say something, then you bring it to Don. Go ahead.
Just one thing to bring attention to, you know. When Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Remember, this was during the Sermon on the Mount. But it bears a lot more significance when you remembered when he was nailed to the cross, being mocked by the very chosen people of God, being mocked by the Romans, being mocked by the mob, being mocked by those who were practically nailed to the cross right next to him.
That he was saving.
Yeah, exactly. The very people who were saying Hosanna in the highest were now, you know, slandering him on the cross. And, you know, even though he was there, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, you know. And it's moments like that that help me look to Christ, because he didn't just say it. He lived it till the end.
Correct.
And the Lord was able to reward him with eternal life.
Yes. Amen. Could you give that microphone to Don up here?
The enemy is me. They are a sinner just as I was.
Correct.
Before I received Christ.
Absolutely.
So they are not enemies. They are just unknown people yet to God.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He even says that, you know, once I was an enemy of God. Listen, I was against him and his ways. And the bottom line is, I used to be Pastor, you're so this, you're so that. I used to be a terrible person. So I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Lord. And so are you if you receive Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? We should just be so thankful. He goes on to say, I'm afraid to ask how long. It was one verse. 37 minutes on two verses. Or let's get two more. Okay, five. Thanks. Okay, so here's 1 Timothy 2:2. So we're really tracking along here. Verse 2. He goes on to say, after I'm urging you to make, you know, to first of all pray, and to pray all these different ways, to be a person of prayer, he's like, now I want you to pray this way for kings and all those who are in authorities. Sorry, why am I smiling? I was going to do that same illustration with this third time. It's just like, I keep telling you no. Anyway, so I'm not going to ask again. For pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Listen, I really like that. So the Apostle Paul is moving from, I want you to pray for everybody. That's the kind of person I want you to be, my daughter, my son. He's like, now I'm expanding this member list, prayer list, of all men to all those who are in authority. And that means those who are in local authority, state authority. It means all authority. And this is evangelistic praying. This is Great Commission praying. So whether you like a president, don't like a president, Lord, save them, help them to make policies that go more in line with those values, with your values, than the enemy's value, you know? And again, this is whether you like them or not. We should be praying. Instead of complaining all the time, I take that same time and pray for them. And sometimes you'll see people get saved. Does anybody have in their life somebody who you never thought would ever get saved? Get saved. Raise your hand. Look how many hands. Anthony's like me. That I get it. Well, that's kind of true too. I've probably told this story. Yeah, I was thinking of somebody else actually, but I was thinking when my best friend Mike, he was saved before me. I grew up in the church, so I was always the leader. And then he got this thing called saved, and he started changing his life. I thought it was a fad. I didn't realize. And so I remember when I first got saved, I started reading this devotional, Utmost for His Highest. Some of you have read it, by Oswald Chambers. Very good, very deep. And so I wanted to give it to a former girlfriend's sister. And And so I said, oh, you're going to see her? Would you just take this and just say it's from me? This girl, she's like, this is from Darren. She busts out laughing. She worked at a bank. She's like, Mike, if you want to give me this devotional, just tell me. I'll take it. I'll take a look at it, and I'll receive it from you. She's like, no, this is from Darren. She's like, there's no way possible that this is from Darren. He would never do this. He would never get it. But that's what God does. He changes life. So anyway, now remember, even our enemies, pray for those in authorities. At this exact time, Caesar Nero was in charge, and he was wrapping Christians up in cloth or dipping them in wax, impaling them, putting them in his garden, lighting them on fire alive, and riding his chariot, laughing at them. He's telling them back then, no, nobody's doing, well, they may be in a different way, but that's pretty bad, right? He's saying, pray for them. Oh, can I scoot over? Yes, I'm sorry. So what I'm saying is, pray for those you like and those you don't like. Listen, if you do good to just those who are good to you, what good is that? How is that showing that Christ is, right? I saw a hand go up, and so could we bring the microphone to that person, whoever has the microphone? Oh, here, Chris has it. All right, thank you. I don't think he does anymore. Oh, sorry, you have to turn.
You know, a lot of times you don't feel like praying for that person that has hurt you or
that's
whatever
true.
That is. What I have found in my lifetime that even if you don't feel like it, pray anyway, because God's not just changing their heart, he's changing yours.
Yes, amen. Good word, sister, good word. So I like this word from John Piper. He said, if you want your prayers to do the most good for the greatest number of people, be sure to include in your prayers those persons whose decisions create the conditions in which the purpose of the gospel are going to prosper. He says, it is important to pray for leaders, regardless of what side they're on, because the conditions they create either advance or impede the gospel. Isn't that true? That's why he's saying, church, I want you to be praying for them. That should be a part of even every prayer session we get together. Now, notice the purpose of prayer for the government leaders is for our own personal good. It's so that we may experience peace and calm. That's what those, one is a circumstantial peace, and the other is a calm that comes from peace in our hearts, regardless of what's going on. And also that the purpose of praying is not only just a peaceable environment outside and inside, it's a godly life. And that can be maximized in that sort of calm atmosphere. And that serves as a great witness to the lost, that we have that peace in all situations. So this is an interesting, I'll shorten it for time's sake, but basically, for those of you who know, how many of you guys know, remember Ronald Reagan, a president? Yeah, okay. So you know, he's attributed with bringing the Berlin Wall, okay, communist wall in Germany. And so, but most of you don't know about this, but this is true. Prayer is really what brought down the Berlin Wall. And in May 8, 1989, in Leipzig, in St. Nicholas Church, where the Reformation had been introduced 450 years earlier, a small group began to meet. And it actually just started off with a dozen people getting together in prayer in this communist area. And all they could do was pray. They were paid terrible wages. They were given vodka and to work in the coal mines. It was a miserable life, but all they could do was pray. And they started praying, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, till on October 9th, in 1989, there were 8,000 individuals crowded into that church praying for peace, and another 70,000 had gathered outside. And honestly, they were blocking off the Autobahn. They were blocking off streets to get to the prayer meeting. They had snipers on the roof. You can read it about it in Christianity Today. It's very interesting. But the bottom line is, it actually grew to over 300,000 people marching down. Uh, and And this is what one communist, they had gun turrets ready, they had soldiers ready, they had dogs, snipers, they had imprisoned some, they had tortured others. And this is what the one communist official from Leipzig made this comment, and it was an unguarded admission to a journalist. He said, "We were prepared for every eventuality, but not for candles and not for prayers." And that, my friends, within a few weeks later, brought down the Berlin Wall. Very interesting, don't you think?
Bring down the walls of bitterness.
Yes. Time, Pastor? Okay. All right. 5 minutes, and I'm going to give you a quick bouquet of sweet peas. Oh, Lord, let me go quick. Okay? Because there's power in prayer. So I don't know if you can see the little pea in there, right? Here's a bouquet of sweet peas that I've made over a while. So here's how we're to pray. Okay, this will help you. If you take notes, I'd write this down. The first is to pray passionately and powerfully. Pray passionately and powerfully. They all start with P, which I thought was pretty cool. So here's the first one. Pray passionate and powerfully. Look, James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Listen, if you're just praying to give word filler, don't waste your time. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the paint on the wall. We thank you for things that are good. Help my dog to, you know. Listen, the effectual, fervent prayer. That's passionate. You have to understand there's power in prayer. If you understand that and you understand people's need, you're going to be praying, seeking, asking, knocking, and you're not going to stop because you know that's going to have an effect. If you don't believe, you can be like, "Lord, we just pray, I don't know, for whatever." Pray passionately and powerfully. The fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, the King James says. I like that. Does that make sense? Okay? Okay, let's continue. Also, pray perseveringly. You're writing this down. Pray perseveringly. Ephesians, this is also in the King James Version, so it's my King James day. Ephesians 6:18, I say 18 through 9, it's supposed to be 19. But it says this, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and with requests or supplications in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So praying always, all prayer with all perseverance. I'm going to pray no matter what comes against me. I'm going to keep praying no matter what the enemy throws at me, he says. That's the spiritual battle in Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. So pray perseveringly. Pray protectively. Pray protectively. There's another sweet pea, a bouquet of sweet peas. Pray protectively. Jesus told his disciples, "I want you to watch and pray that you won't fall into temptation." It's easy for all of us to get tripped up. So watch and pray so that you will not happen. And take heed lest you fall. If you think, "I don't need to pray because I'm doing good," that's when you need to pray the most, at least for me. Okay? Pray positionally. Pray positionally. I'm not talking about stand, sit, lay, whatever. In Luke 18, 9 to 14, Jesus tells this parable of two guys. One was a Pharisee, and he thought pretty highly of himself. And he looked down at everybody else, and he said, "Oh." Both him and a tax collector went in to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee went, "Lord, I just thank you that I'm not like her or not like him. I thank you that I'm righteous. I thank you that I tithe. I give all my tithes to the Lord, not like some of these people. Anyway, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like them, a sinner. Lord, thank you. Amen." He stood up. And the other guy was a tax collector, and he was kind of hated by the people, not loved by them. He was like, "Lord, I just have mercy on me. I just need you. I'm a sinner, and I need you, Jesus. Will you help me?" And Jesus said, "You know what? The guy that had the humble heart, that wasn't looking down on everyone else, he's the one that went away. I heard his prayer, and he's the one that I'm helping." Does that make sense? So pray positionally. In other words, with the right heart. And then lastly, in the bouquet of sweet peas, pray persistently. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples a parable on how they should show them they should always pray and never give up. There was in this parable, there was an unjust judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about people. And yet this widow kept going and saying, "Hey, I need justice. I need this thing. I need this thing." And he's like, "I don't care what you think. I don't care what God thinks. No." But she kept coming and kept coming. And finally, she's just like, this unjust judge is like, "Oh, I just want to shut her up." That's the paraphrase version. "I just want to shut her up. I'm going to give her what she asked for because she's bugging the heck out of me." And so he did. And then Jesus said, "That was an unjust judge. How much more, how much differently will your heavenly Father give to you whom he loves, the just judge, when you ask, when you knock, when you seek, when you pray?" Does that make sense? How long? No, I still even have more for the second verse. Okay, what we'll do, we'll leave you with a bouquet of sweet peas. And we'll pray, and Pastor Gary's going to come up as I'm praying, and he's going to lead us in a short communion message, and we'll go from there. So, Father, I want to say thank you for my friends. Lord, thank you for my family who is here that blesses us. Lord, thank you for your word that does not return void. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name ahead of time for every person that would receive this message, that would become a woman of prayer, a man of prayer, a man stirred up to pray passionately, a woman stirred up to pray powerfully, Lord, that wouldn't set that aside, that would move mountains, Lord, not because they're anything special, but because you are special and you've asked us to do this, Lord. I pray a blessing on everyone here, everyone online, and on my friend Pastor Gary as he leads us in this communion message. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.